Hey everyone, welcome to our Course in Miracles study group. This is the last call of 2019, and I think this officially means that we've been doing this for 8 years every week, which is pretty amazing. I have three quick announcements before we dive in. Number one, I just posted on Facebook, I am part of a free summit where the summit organizer, her name's Kristen, she interviewed like 40-something people, and we're each sharing like 60-something miracle stories. They're like short 15-minute stories of different miracles, and it's a beautiful thing. So if you're interested in that, you can go to my Facebook page. I also, Course Companions, which is the membership site of the Circle of Atonement, I'll actually be reading later on from the commentary from being a member of Course Companions. I have a thing going on right now where if you join for a year of Course Companions, I'm throwing in the From Anxiety to Love Masterclass. If you're interested in that, send me an email if you don't already have the email from me. And finally, the Presenter Series, my four-week presentation for the Teachers of God Foundation is coming out in January, January 5th or 6th, I believe. And that's the $19.55 with the coupon code 1. So again, if you're interested, look out for my email or email me and I'll get the info to you. Without further ado, let's dive in. So if you're able, if you're present and not driving a car, allowing your eyes to close and turning attention within. Bringing your attention into that quiet, still space within. It's the space that we all share. It's where we find home. It's where we find peace. And it's where we find our happiness. This still, quiet space within is literally shared by every single one of us. And as we rest here, this rest extends outwards and touches other living things that we have no idea of how it even affects them. Our love is felt throughout the world. In your mind, as you connect with this quiet, still space within, bringing your mind to your sense of willingness, your willingness to see differently, to loose the world from all we thought it was, and connecting with your willingness to know the truth, that which is already within us. Offering our willingness to Spirit. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Tonight, we will be reading another rather deep section in the course. In the CE edition, we are on page 864. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, we are chapter 29, part 7. The subheadings in both of these editions are called Seek Not Outside Yourself. And then in the Sparkle edition and the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, the subheading is The Lingering Illusion. That's page 674 in the Sparkle. And in the original edition, it's chapter 29, part 7. We are going to hear this term, seek not outside yourself, over and over in this section. I didn't count how many times it's written, not a huge amount, but more so than when we read sections, there's not usually this repetitive statement like there is in this section. So Jesus in the Course really wants us to pay attention and to get this, seek not outside yourself. Because I do feel moved to try to get through the whole section tonight, it's 8 paragraphs. I might read 1 or 2 paragraphs perhaps at a time. We'll see how I feel moved as we go. All right, let's begin. Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace excepting there. Each idol that you worship when God calls will never answer in his place. There is no other answer you can substitute and find the happiness his answer brings. Seek not outside yourself, for all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be found. What if it is not there? Do you prefer that you be right or happy? Be you glad that you are told where happiness abides and seek no longer elsewhere? You will fail. But it is given you to know the truth and not to seek for it outside yourself. So that phrase about not seeking outside of ourselves pretty much appears 3 times in this one paragraph. It's really emphasized. I do want to highlight a footnote, and before I do that, I'll just share a few quick words. And that is, again, I mean, this is saying so clearly, seek not outside yourself. Idols are anything that we are looking to in substitution for God. So pretty much like look around anything, you know, in your house, the body, the world is full of idols, and the specific purpose of the world and the idols that it contains from the ego standpoint are to be substitutes for God. And nothing here can substitute for God. Nothing here can answer when God calls to us, and nothing here can give us that happiness that his answer brings. This one line in this paragraph, do you prefer that you be right or happy? I know for me, this is something I've quoted a lot. I think this is a very popular Course in Miracles quote. And the footnote that's in the CE edition is so helpful because it's keeping us in context of where this sentence is in the Course, particularly the fact that it's in this paragraph about not seeking outside yourself. So in the context of this paragraph, do you prefer that you be right or happy means, so I'm going to read the footnote, this is not to imply that you should choose happiness at the expense of being right. Do you prefer that you be right means preferring to be right about your current view, that happiness is found outside yourself. Or for instance, I'm just pausing here, I'm not reading the footnote at the moment. A lot of times this quote can be brought up when you're in a relationship conflict. Do you prefer that you be right or happy? And if your current view is that your happiness is dependent on that other person behaving a certain way, that would apply, in my opinion. So I'll continue reading the footnote. So outside of yourself, since happiness is not found there, meaning outside of yourself, wanting your current view to be right means that as the Course says later, you are holding the goal of being right when you are wrong. If you are willing to admit you are wrong, you can switch to being right and happy. In fact, the only way to be happy is to be right about where happiness can truly be found. So I love that footnote. I just thought it was a nice explanation that keeps this very popular quote in the context of the paragraph that it was written. We can be right and happy when we're clear that happiness can only be found within ourselves. I'm going to read one more paragraph and then I'll pause and open it up. No one who comes here but must still have hope, some lingering illusion, or some dream that there is something outside of himself that will bring happiness and peace to him. If everything is in him, this cannot be so. And therefore, by his coming, he denies the truth about himself and seeks for something more than everything, as if a part of it were separated off and found where all the rest of it is not. This is the purpose he bestows upon the body, that it seek for what he lacks and give him what would make himself complete. So, okay, we're going to be hitting, I feel like, some pretty deep Course in Miracles statements and maybe some startling ones in this section. And here's where that kind of begins. So I know that there's, I think it was Marianne Williamson maybe, that said something to the effect of love is what we're born with and fear is what we learn here or what we made here or something like that. And we can definitely say for sure, like, you know, babies see and you know, respond. They're in that love. And yet if we take it a step back, what this paragraph is saying is that by our coming into this world, so even as we're children, even as we're babies, we've made a choice to come into this world to deny the truth about ourselves, to deny the fact that we are part of God and have instead tried to create something that will be more than everything, meaning this something more than everything is we're looking for specialness here, as if, and it goes on to say that, as if a part of it were separated off and found where all the rest is not, this is the purpose he bestows upon the body. So the body is this idea of this separated off thing that's found where all the rest of, you know, the truth is not. And it seeks for what we think we lack. And meaning the body is going to be seeking for things in the physical world that will fulfill it, that will make it complete. And obviously we're learning that that can't be the truth. I feel like I just said a lot. I'm going to pause there and see if anybody has any questions or insights or examples that are coming to mind for you. And I can certainly keep reading. I'm hoping also that you can hear me okay. I think you can. Any comments or questions so far, or any sentences that stand out to you?
Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hey, did you just say, and I'm just really, because I wrote this down, and I don't know if this makes sense.
Go for it.
Okay, this is what I wrote down from what you said.
Okay.
We chose to come to this world to prove that we don't need God. That's what I wrote. It makes sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. And that's why I so have just resonated with these course teachings since the beginning, because what else teaches that? I mean, that's radical. That's almost blasphemous to the ego, you know, to say something like that. But that's exactly what the Course is teaching us, that we made the world as a substitute for God and all these bodies. And so essentially you could say that the world serves under the ego as a hiding place from God for us to utterly forget who it is that we truly are. It's big, right?
I love it. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for emphasizing and highlighting that.
You know, that's so sad because we lose faith in ourselves when we lose trust in God or when we think that.
Absolutely.
It's
and ourselves,
so pathetic.
It is pathetic. We lose faith in our capital S self. It's the small s self that we think we're strengthening, but we're losing faith. We lose faith in who it is that we truly are by all the messages that the world is reporting to us that this is all there is. This is all we are. You know, there's nothing more. So you're absolutely right. We lose faith in our capital S self, and it is pathetic.
I think that's why there's so much alcoholism in families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
that's
enough.
That's why, I mean, you said,
don't get me going.
Okay, well, I'll go just a little bit on that topic, just that, like, we medicate and numb and, you know, all of the internal, gosh, guilt, shame, you know, everything that's there, rather than bringing it out to the light for healing, it gets stuffed and medicated and yes to that. And when I say medicated, I mean, you know, any kind of substance.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going because this is how this whole section is going to be, folks. Just just a heads up that it's we're going deep again. This is not just like a pretty, you know, like la-di-da happy section. This is like, boom, you came here to prove that you're separate from God. So let's keep going. And thus he wanders aimlessly about. So this is us in the body. And thus he wanders aimlessly about in search of something that he cannot find, believing that he is what he is not. The lingering illusion will impel him to seek out 1,000 idols and to seek beyond them for 1,000 more. And each will fail him, all excepting one, for he will die and does not understand the idol that he seeks is but his death. I'm going to pause there. So in other words, listening to the small s self, the ego self, it is trying to seek the death of your capital S self. It's trying to prove that we pulled off the separation, we are separate from God, and that's that. So I just wanted to clarify that before I keep reading, because that can be a little confusing. Its form appears to be outside himself, yet does he seek to kill God's son within and prove that he is victor over him. This is the purpose every idol has. For this, the role that is assigned to it, and this the role that cannot be fulfilled. I'm going to read the next paragraph as well. Hold on to your hats for this one. Whenever you attempt to reach a goal in which the body's betterment is cast as major beneficiary, you try to bring about your death, and that's your with a capital Y, your capital S self death. For you believe that you can suffer lack, and lack is death. To sacrifice is to give up, and thus to be without and to have suffered loss. And by this giving up is life renounced. Seek not outside yourself. The search implies you are not whole within, and fear to look upon your devastation, and prefer to seek outside yourself for what you are. Idols must fall because they have no life, and what is lifeless is a sign of death. You came to die, and what would you expect but to perceive the signs of death you seek? Whew, okay, we're pausing there. So again, this is painting a picture that the small s self, this sense of separate self that we all identify with, is trying to, quote unquote, kill the capital S self, that truth, that place that we just went to in our meditation, that place that we all share. It's trying to kill any awareness of that part and keep this cycle of birth and death going unquestioned. So the ego's goal is for the body to die before we wake up to the fact, or before we wake up to its games, let's say, before we, you know, realize what it is that's actually happening. And, you know, game over ego, we're onto it at this point because we're here and we're doing the course. So this second paragraph, the first sentence that I read is quite startling, right? So think about all the ways. I'll give you my example of all the ways in which I'm seeking the body's betterment and trying to bring about your death. Like, my goodness, I take vitamins. I, you know, went to the doctor not too long ago for just a checkup. And you could just go on and on, working out, you know, hygiene. Like, we could say all these things are the body's betterment. And if we're casting the body's betterment as our major beneficiary, you're trying to bring about your death. That sounds insane because we want to take care of our bodies, right? But we have to look deeper. And if we are saying that, oh, I need to do this, you know, for my body to make it my body better, if we're stopping there, we're affirming that we are only these bodies, that this is all there is, and, you know, ignoring the truth that is just beyond that. So number one, we have to be where we are. The course is not actually saying don't take care of your body. That's not what it's saying at all. But there is a repurposing that has to happen where what we can do as we take care of the body is to say, so for instance, when I take my vitamins, I say, Holy Spirit, I'm taking these pills with you. And if the time comes when my need for them falls away, so be it. But I'm repurposing everything that I do to make the body better as an opportunity for spirit to come in instead and have a different interpretation. So I'm no longer trying to, you know, do X, Y, and Z to like prevent death or prevent sickness or, you know, out of fear. I'm instead doing what I feel called to do at this moment for being where I am, but I'm bringing spirit in. I'm allowing everything to be repurposed. So I'm going to pause there. What's coming up for you? Any questions or comments so far?
How could you apply that to weight? Like,
same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look at, okay. Holy Spirit, I believe that I'm not the right weight. I'm willing to look at this belief with you. This, you know, weight, God doesn't know weight. Weight doesn't exist in the mind of God. I'm willing to wake up to this truth. I'm willing to look at my relationship with food. You know, I'm willing, willing, willing. And as you aren't hanging on to anything for your small self, you're repurposing it. You're letting it be repurposed. There have been times in my life when, you know, I started noticing my pants were getting a little too tight. And by doing this type of work with just really questioning my belief about my own body, that there'd be times when that weight, that extra pound or whatever, or 2 pounds, whatever it was, would shift. There would actually be like, you know, it would fall away or something like that. So it all needs to be looked at with spirit. Does that make sense, Paula?
It totally makes sense. So in a sense, it would be the concern I have about weight.
Mm-hmm.
I would give to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes. And with that,
even
concern,
the food you eat, you could eat with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. Because we put so much belief in certain foods are healthy and that food is unhealthy. And guess what? Have you all noticed how it changes like every few months? Like, you know, the new diet comes out.
Oh,
you know, don't eat bacon. Oh, yeah, you can eat bacon and fat all you want. Like, that's not stable at all. And so we have to, you know, look at that too with spirit. Because the Course talks elsewhere about quote-unquote laws of nutrition, laws of immunization. They're all made up by the ego, and they're all they all need to be questioned and looked at. And it doesn't mean, again, I just really want to emphasize this, it doesn't mean that we're like, oh, I need to not take care of my body now, or, you know, not take my pills. No, no, no. What we're doing when we try to do that is we're bypassing. We're trying to pretend we're somewhere where we experientially have not yet arrived. And that's why it's so important to do everything with spirit, because the experiential learning comes by going through our lessons with allowing ourselves to be where we are.
You know, it makes me think about when I stopped smoking.
I love your stopping smoking story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
decided every cigarette that I lit, I would smoke with the Holy Spirit and give it to the Holy Spirit. And within a very short period of time, I was done.
And
it was as if I had never, I had been smoking since I was 15 years old.
Wow.
And
so how many years was that then that you had been
smoking? Oh, well, by
then
it had to be 45, 50 years.
Okay.
It was
wow.
a long time, but it was just as if it never happened at all. That was the really powerful part of it, because it was like I never looked back.
Wow. I love that, Paula.
I'm going to try. Why didn't I think about this with weight?
Yeah.
It's with anything.
Same thing. You know, I just want to emphasize how unstable the quote-unquote laws of the world are, because the laws of the world tell us that if you eat right and you do this and you do that, then you'll be healthy. There's always exceptions to that. I have a friend right now who was the epitome of healthy eating, healthy weight, all that, and she's dying of cancer, and she's having a really good experience dying. She's recording videos telling people about how it doesn't have to be this terrible thing, how it can actually be like a beautiful process. And she's an incredible, joyous inspiration to me. But she breaks that law that, like, you know, you have to do this, this, and this, and you stay healthy. There's exceptions. We hear about that all the time, of like the top athlete just dropping dead. Our safety lies in God, period.
Yeah.
And that's what we experientially need to wake up to. And we can't just hop into that, you know, without knowing it, like knowing it through your experience, knowing it. Oh, okay. That's my little tangent. Anybody else have anything to add? Thank you for that, Paula. I love your quitting smoking story. It's just so perfect. You know, I'll just add to, Dana, one moment. I'll just finish my thought real quick and then turn it over to you. But just with, you know, even weight, taking our beliefs and our thoughts about weight, we have to also remember that we could be affirming the fact that we're a body within that. So it's important to uproot the belief that we are a body and not stop at, oh, I just am going to look at, you know, my weight with spirit, but I'm looking at my belief that I'm a body that has, you know, whatever weight, you know, with spirit too, because we can't just apply these teachings to try to make the body better, you know, and when that's the goal, we're actually still missing the mark and it's not going to work. Jana.
Oh, thank you, Corinna. That actually is a great segue for what I'm thinking. I feel like we're all kind of on like a deep dive or spelunking into the dark caverns of the ego here.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, I love your story on the not smoking. It's really got me thinking. And it kind of, to branch it off into all the other areas, you know, for, how do I put this? It seems to me as more and more of us are on this planet are kind of starting to wake up and choosing spirit and willingness in ways that we don't even understand we're doing,
mm-hmm.
that the old rules that we thought were so true are falling away. For example, you know, how many times, I'm in my 50s, and I remember many, many times the idea of, well, if I just go to work for a government job or go to work for a big corporation and put my time in, then I'll have my retirement. Those jobs are falling away. I'll have insurance. Those jobs are falling away, those old laws. Or if I save my money and invest and do everything I'm supposed to do, I'll have a good retirement. And then you have crashes in the stock market. Certainly the health is another issue. If I do eat right, exercise, do all of that, that will work out for me. All of these rules seem to be falling away. Or like for myself, in certain circumstances, if I just do all the right things in my job, if I, you know, do what I'm told, if I play nice, I'll get ahead, all of that. Those don't apply anymore. The rules are not applying. You look at politics. Those rules aren't applying anymore. Every rule is being kind of systematically chopped off at the knees. It's causing people that are wanting to wake up to look inward deeper, I think. And that's just, I just, as I'm reading this, it really feels, it is a deep dive into that nothing that we thought was going to work is going to work.
Yeah.
And it's
that
almost
was so,
like, you know,
so well said. Go on.
It almost feels like, you know, those movies you see where you have to step down on what appears to be nothing in order to know that there's something solid there.
Right.
I don't know if that visual I pick is, if we're looking for the bridge to take us across to some unknown place, it's not going to work. And there's a quote that I love that it reminds me of what kind of we're all going through in our own way, is that in order to find new lands, we have to give the sight up of finding of the shores. Meaning, I think I just screwed that up. But in order to discover new lands, we have to be willing to lose sight of the shore.
Yeah, like go out far, go out deep enough or far enough.
Yeah, yeah. We have to be willing to lose sight of the known, what we've always known that will fail. We think it's going to go, it might fail for that person, but oh no, it'll work for me one more time. And yet it's all failing. And we have to be willing to, and this is kind of, I think, certainly where I'm at in my life, and I think many, many of us are there, is like, okay, everything I thought would work is not working. I have to be willing to lose sight of the of the known and choose the unknown with God.
Yes.
Yeah, but the Holy Spirit is the only way. We don't have to be afraid of anything or worry about anything, really, if we keep the Holy Spirit uppermost, out front, through this world with that vision.
But if we don't have a level of trust yet in Holy Spirit,
it can feel like
we're leaving that shore with nothing.
Yep.
You know, we have those experiences that help us
but
build
that's
our
trust. Where the trust comes in. When we really start to learn to trust. Because we're out there, we're like, oh, shit, this doesn't feel good at all. Holy Spirit, get in here and help me with it. I've seen just the most fearful moments turn into...
Yeah, or even
an easy path. I'm amazed by it.
Even taking that initial step, as Jana was describing, where there's, you know, if you're looking for the bridge that you're going to step on, it's not there. You just have to take that leap of faith. That is a huge trust building moment when we take that leap and suddenly we find everything's okay and that bridge is there. I experienced that a number of times with first when I left my full-time job in 2010. Every way I calculated it, my husband and I were not going to survive on just his salary. And I had to quit. My mental health was deteriorating. And I took that leap of faith. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm listening to you. You know, logically, I can't see how this is going to be okay. But I took that leap, and all the opportunities for other sources of income, meditation classes, like I can't even tell, speaking, paid speaking engagements, they just started popping up left and right because I took that leap first. So, yes to all that. And I want to also emphasize what Jana was saying. I love, Jana, how you were saying how the rules aren't applying, how the rules are, you know, the laws are all falling away. Those laws, you know, those things that we seek that are no longer working, those are the idols falling. And it said here so clearly, they will fail. If we're looking for something outside of us, safety in a retirement account, safety in having health insurance, all those idols are going to fall. And so again, this is where we need, we're learning of the, of having complete trust and safety and security in God because of who we are.
And
we
if
are
I can
so
just
taking
one,
a deep dive. Oh, sure. Go ahead. And then we'll
if I can just add one more thing, because as I read this, going back up to the paragraph you just were reading, for you believe that you can suffer lack, and lack is death. And for me, my experience, so much of these falling away of the rules and the idols feels like death. It brings up so much fear, and that's where, you know, I have to go back to, you know, it reminds me of a pilot. I have some background in aviation. I worked out in an airport for many years and bringing in the big planes and stuff because I love aviation. And I remember many of my friends that were pilots that said one of the hardest trainings they ever went through is when they had to do instrument training, where they had to totally rely on the instruments, even though everything within them was saying that up was down and down was up physically, they had to rely on their instruments and what the instruments were telling them. And I think on a spiritual level, for me, in many of my ways, that is where I'm at, where I just go, okay, it feels, everything within me feels like I'm losing, I'm lost, I'm deaf, anxiety, fear, and I go, I have to trust my instruments, and my instruments is God and the Holy Spirit. I have to trust what that says because nothing else will work.
Ah,
that's it.
Janet, that's it. That is it. And then what a blessing. Like, then we can look back and all the pain and the anxiety and the challenges have brought us to this point of, they brought us to this point of recognizing that the only instrument that you have to trust those instruments of God and the Holy Spirit, and that's it. So then we can, you know, look at all of that as a blessing in a way of taking us to this realization. Oh, thank you so much. That was beautiful. I'm really moved. So Jana just brought up a sentence before I keep reading. I just want to highlight this. It's the sentence, for you believe that you can suffer lack, and lack is death. In each time we are seeking for something to make ourselves better, whether it's related to health or an object or, you know, status of some sort, fame, popularity, whatever it may be, in wanting that, isn't there an underlying affirmation that we are lacking? You know, just in the sheer desire of wanting whatever that gold shiny object is, there's an affirmation underlying that that's saying, I'm lacking. I don't have that. I'm not perfect. I'm not whole. I'm not innocent. And so that's another sort of underneath deeper ego belief that we need to look at with spirit and affirm the fact that our safety, our happiness, the truth, it is all of God. And that's where we are. We have never left. We are whole and innocent and perfect right now, not later, not later, but right now.
Oh, okay, let's read. No sadness and no suffering proclaims a message other than an idol found, which represents a parody of life, which in its lifelessness is really death, conceived as real and given living form. Yet each must fail and crumble and decay, because a form of death cannot be life. I want to read that again. A form of death cannot be life. And what is sacrificed cannot be whole. All idols of this world were made to keep the truth within from being known to you, and to maintain allegiance to the dream that you must find what is outside of you to be complete and happy. It is vain to worship idols in the hope of peace. God dwells within, and your completion lies in him. No idol takes his place. Look not to idols. Do not seek outside yourself. There it is again. I got goosebumps. So again, this is sobering, but like it's emphasizing yet again that everything that we seek for outside of ourselves, according, you know, under the ego's quote unquote laws, whatever we're seeking outside of ourselves is going to fail and crumble and decay, because a form of death cannot be life. Remember, we can repurpose everything to help us wake up, but what is out there is not what we're looking for. This one sentence speaks to what Joyce highlighted before. All idols of this world were made to keep the truth within from being known to you, and to maintain allegiance to the dream that you must find what is outside of you to be complete and happy. So the purpose of idols is to keep the truth from being known to us. I feel like this has almost like a affirmation that we can remind ourselves of, that God dwells within and our completion lies in him. I feel like that's the remedy, reminding ourselves of that truth. Let's read another paragraph. Let us forget the purpose of the world the past has given it. For otherwise, the future will be like the past, and but a series of depressing dreams in which all idols fail you one by one, and you see death and disappointment everywhere. To change all this and open up a road of hope and of release in what appeared to be an endless circle of despair, you need but to decide you do not know the purpose of the world. You give it goals it does not have, and thus do you decide what it is for. You try to see in it a place of idols found outside yourself, with power to make complete what is within by splitting what you are between the two. I'll pause there. So in this paragraph, it's saying that our way out to change all of this, to change everything that we just read about this, you know, closed loop of an ego thought system, to open up a road of hope and of release in what appeared to be this endless circle of despair, we simply have to decide that we don't know the purpose of the world. We simply can stop laying our perceptions and our beliefs on it. The thing is that sometimes we don't quite know how to do that. We can tell ourselves, I don't know what this is for, and that's really helpful. But again, it also comes back to this idea of turning everything over to Holy Spirit. This act, I have this as one of my steps in my book, is probably like my most favorite thing ever, of releasing everything, of withholding nothing from the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm withholding a part of my life that I'm not handing over, that I'm not repurposing, I'm still for sure laying my meaning on it, my purpose on it. I'm thinking that, you know, I can control it.
rather than just turning it all over for that repurposing and letting Holy Spirit teach us the purpose of the world through experiences. And we learn that purpose is love. It is to extend love, to receive love, to come to know the truth. There's a course quote elsewhere that says, "The healing of God's Son is all the world is for." So literally, that is our function, and that is the purpose of why we are here, is to heal the Son of God, to do our small part in withholding nothing from Spirit. Isn't that, I love this. I love this paragraph. Any comments or questions coming up for anyone? Or any sentences that stand out to you?
Karine. Hi, Karine. It's Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
A thought came up for me with this because I have goals for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking, I'm going to do all 365 lessons, and then I'm mm-hmm. taking a bunch of classes, and I'm just sometimes, I just had this thought that what if this is sort of ego trying to keep me busy doing these things that I think are spiritual, but it's just busy work?
That is a phenomenal question. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because what perfect timing, 2019 is now going to be 2020 in just a few days. And what do we usually do? We set resolutions and goals. What a perfect question. So there's ego in everything that we do, because the ego would love to be spiritual, right? It would love to be a spiritualized ego. And all we have to do is ask the question that you just asked, what's going on here? And all you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, here are my goals. Holy Spirit, here are the classes I'm going to take. Here are my plans. I'm giving this all to you. And you lead the way. Maybe you'll stay on track with doing all of those things and it will just feel right. Maybe as you're in it, something else might move you to change directions, maybe not. But as long as you're handing everything over, this is one of the number one questions that I've often received, is that, when I do something, how do I know if it's an ego thing, or if I'm doing something, how do I know if it's, spirit guided? And we often can't tell. So the bottom line is that if you're holding on to nothing, if you're willing to turn your goals and your classes and your, if you're willing to turn it all over to Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will use it to help you wake up. Holy Spirit will have that different purpose for it. It's when we do this, problem solving and everything apart from Spirit, that we can get into, challenges with that. So super simple answer to that beautiful question is just give it all over to Spirit and do what you feel inclined to do, and trust that if there is ego there, it's going to fall away as you're ready to let it go. So no big deal. Does that make sense?
Oh, Karine, I love that. Thank you for the reminder to be giving it over. I never even thought to just say, Holy Spirit, these are my goals. Love that so much.
Yay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for bringing that up. That's just a perfect question for the new year. Awesome. Okay, let's go ahead and read the last two paragraphs of this section. And if we have time, I just wanted to read a little exercise from the commentary from the Course Companions program that I'm a part of. I thought it was, we'll have time. Okay, last two paragraphs. You choose your dreams, for they are what you wish, perceived as if it had been given you. And idols do what you would have them do and have the power you ascribe to them. And you pursue them vainly in the dream, because you want their power as your own. Yet where are dreams but in a mind asleep? And can a dream succeed in making real the pictures it projects outside itself? Save time, my brother. Learn what time is for. and speed the end of idols in the world made sad and sick by seeing idols there. Your holy mind is altar unto God, and where he is, no idols can abide. The fear of God is but the fear of loss of idols. It is not the fear of loss of your reality, but you have made of your reality an idol, which you must protect against the light of truth. And all the world becomes the means by which this idol can be saved. Salvation thus appears to threaten life and offer death. It is not so. Salvation seeks to prove there is no death and only life exists. The sacrifice of death is nothing lost. An idol cannot take the place of God. Let him remind you of his love for you, and do not seek to drown his voice in chants of deep despair to idols of yourself. Seek not outside your Father for your hope, for hope of happiness is not despair. I don't even know if I have any words. I will emphasize something from this final paragraph. And actually, now is going to be the time that I turn to that commentary, because Robert Perry actually wrote this. And let me just see if I can find it. I'm not going to find it quickly. I had it. Oh, here, I put it on my phone. If I can bring it up as a photo. That's not it either. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead. What I wanted to emphasize, and I'm just going to do the best I can to paraphrase what Robert Perry said from his commentary. We don't actually fear God. We fear the loss of our small sense of self. That's it. We're not fearing, although it might seem like we fear reality, what we're actually fearing deep down is losing Corinne, losing the sense of being me. And although in truth I am not Corinne, we lose absolutely nothing, as this paragraph says in Waking Up. So although I couldn't find the exact words in the commentary, I thought this exercise was really beautiful, so I will read this. This is the exercise that goes along with the commentary for this section from the Course Companions program that I mentioned at the beginning of the call. The exercise is, think of an idol you are currently pursuing. So think about a goal or something that you want or something that you're hoping to achieve. It's something in the world that you hope to gain for yourself. Then say, this idol will eventually fall. And even now, that is my plan, for I am really seeking the emptiness after it falls. This will prove that I am not God's son. This will quote-unquote prove that I am not God's son. And thus, I will at last have defeated my true self. Yet can this goal be what I really want? No. God dwells within me, and my completion lies in him. No idol takes his place. I will not look to idols. I will not try to defeat my true self with a capital S. I will not seek outside myself. So I just thought that was a beautiful little exercise to just think about some kind of idol that you're currently pursuing, recognizing that it's not going to last, that it's going to fall. And the underlying piece, this is another thing that Robert Perry highlighted in the commentary, is that when we seek for idols, there's this sort of unconscious peace that we're seeking for the lack, the emptiness that we feel when an idol falls, because that emptiness proves that we're not God's son. I know that sounds convoluted, and I'm hoping that if that made your head spin, you'll listen to the recordings. I don't know if I can say that again, but that's another sort of circuitous route that the ego has taken beneath the surface that we can look at with spirit. So I just loved how this exercise ended with this affirmation that God dwells within me. My completion lies in him. No idol takes his place. I will not look to idols. I will not try to defeat my true self. I will not seek outside myself. Okay, we made it. I'm wondering if anybody has any comments or questions.
Karen?
Yeah.
This is Tanya. I have
Hi,
a
Tanya.
Quick question, and I'm sorry.
Sure.
It's totally off topic.
Go for
well,
it.
I guess not totally, but.
It's never off topic.
I'm not on Facebook, and I'm really interested in the summit with the miracle stories, but I don't think I got enough information to be able to Google it.
Can you email me, and I'll just send you the
yes.
link?
Yes.
Yes, perfect.
Absolutely.
Anybody
Thank
who's interested,
you.
There was the free summit that is just short, a collection of like 60 short miracle stories. If you don't have, if you're not on Facebook or didn't see my post or just want to email me, I'll send you the link. And then I'd also mentioned the Course Companions and From Anxiety to Love Masterclass that ends, that closes on the 31st of this month, and then the presenter series. Those are the three things that I mentioned at the start of the call. So email me if anybody needs anything.
Corinne, just give me your email address one time.
info@fromanxietytolove.com.
Info at fromanxietytolove.com.
My book title. Perfect. Yay, we made it. Thank you, everybody. I love you all. Happy New Year. And I will leave you with a New Year's course quote. How about that?
That's great. Thank you.
Let's do that. I'll read that right now. This is the time in which a new year will soon be born from the time of Christ. I have perfect faith in you to do all that you would accomplish. Nothing will be lacking, and you will make complete and not destroy. Say then to your brother, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release because I recognize that we will be released together. And then there's one other short little paragraph. So will the year begin in joy and freedom. There is much to do, and we have been long delayed. Accept the holy instant as this year is born and take your place so long left unfulfilled in the great awakening. Make this year different by making it all the same. And let all your relationships be made holy for you. This is our will. Amen.
Oh, man, that's
and
beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? That's in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, Chapter 15, Part 11. I don't have the other references available, but if you need it, email me and I'll get it to you. Yay. I think we're done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy
Thank
New
you so
Year.
Happy New Year.
Love you all.
New Year.
It was just like a little party as if the New Year just happened. I loved it.
Love
bye,
you,
everyone. See you next
week. 84 years.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.